Hallelujah.
Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein. I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end, where, as always, we offer you an exciting opportunity just for following. And please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, we're having a very big conversation. It's very big, not just because I have a panel of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wonderful women who are joining, but it's also big because for me personally, it's an important topic. Talking with young Christians, happens to be women today, but young Christians, about their connection to Israel. And these six, who I'm going to ask to introduce themselves in just a moment, so you have a sense of who it is that we're speaking with, all recently participated in a very important program here in Israel that was sponsored by Young Women for America, which is a subset of Concerned Women for America, a ministry that I didn't know until today, honestly, that this was part of CWA and something that I follow and have such tremendous respect for. They were here on a unique trip. We didn't get to connect in person then, but that triggered that this conversation should be had. So we're going to talk about not just what it is to be here in Israel and to come and visit, but especially among you ladies, in your generation, your demographic, and why this trip was important. I want to just open up and possibly, as I ask each of you to introduce yourself, one thing I don't know is for whom this was your first trip, or maybe it wasn't your first trip. So if we can just go around, and maybe I'll call upon you, because I'm seeing the visual of you on the screen, just to introduce yourselves, who you are, where you are, in life, anything else you want to add personally about this. But let's also cover that point as to for whom this was your first trip, or if you had been here before. I'm just going from left to right. Grace, you're at the top of my screen. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Well, thank you, Jonathan. My name is Grace Harrell. I was born in Florida. I currently attend Florida State University as a senior. I'm studying political science and criminology, and this was my first time in Israel, and can't wait to talk about it. I loved every second.
I see. I love it. For those following the audio only, just seeing your smile, I think we can cut the whole conversation there. That's amazing. Ilona, you're going around in the circle.
Hi, my name is Ilona. I'm from Texas. I currently work with Human Coalition, and I serve women who are facing unplanned pregnancies and help them get connected with local resources. This is my third time in Israel, and I was very blessed to be able to go.
Amazing. Okay. Madeline, I see you below, right beneath. Oh, but Madeline might be frozen. We're going to come back to Madeline. We have two Emmas.
Central time zone.
Oh, Madeline, you're there? Sorry. Okay.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we do.
Okay, wonderful. Well, good morning from Central Time Zone in the United States. I am from Arkansas. I'm going into my senior year at College of the Ozarks, and I am chapter president there of Young Women for America, founded that on my campus. And one thing I love about our organization is that we support Israel, and I'm so excited that I got to go. This was my first summer, And I can't wait to be a part of this conversation and talk more about all that that means to me.
Amazing. We're glad you're here. There may be some reception issues because we missed you at the beginning. You cut out for a moment, but we'll work through it. Emma, your full name is Emma Lee Morris. Do you go by Emma Lee or Emma?
I do. I go by Emma Lee. Thank you.
Okay, good.
My name's Emily. Like you said, I go to College of the Ozarks as well with Madeline. I'm about to be a sophomore. I've gotten to be involved with YWA on our campus under Madeline's leadership. She's awesome. I am a sophomore studying speech communications. I like to do policy work. It was my first time in Israel, but I would love to go back. So yeah,
we'll talk about that too. Emma Vistrian.
Hi, my name is Emma Vistrian. I'm currently going into my freshman year of college at Dallas Baptist University. It was my fourth time in Israel, but it was my first time understanding the significance. I was younger when I went the first time, the first few times, but this was definitely the most special time that I went.
Right. And full disclosure, this conversation came up because Emma, you and your sister Ilona, your father is a good friend. You hosted me for Shabbat. When was it? Back in March at your home?
Yeah, it was a great time. I don't remember.
Actually, something really beautiful came out of that. I need to tell your father about that as well. So we have now a longstanding family connection as well, but I'm thrilled that you're here as well. And Morgan, welcome.
Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm 23 and I live in Michigan. I just graduated in May. I'll be starting grad school in the fall, studying higher education administration. And this was my first time to Israel, but I'm hoping it was not my last because it was incredible.
Okay, good. So you know what? So that's a great jumping off point. There's so many things to talk about. We're talking about it and why that experience being here was so significant. So I wanted to ask you each, and maybe I'll start with you, Morgan, because you just finished, is what, because you're a bigger group, normally I would say, what are the top three things? But I think we're going to have a divergence of thoughts on this. What were the top three, the top one most significant place spiritually and historically, two separate things I'm giving you an option for, that you'd want to bring other young Christians, men or women, to come and see here in Israel? Morgan, it's going to be easier for you because you're going to give the first answer, and then others are going to have to come up with answers that are perhaps already repeated or to echo what you and others have might have already said.
So for me, I would say that it was our first day, which was the New Covenant Day. And it's so hard to describe because we saw so many things that day that were just unbelievable. But when we were walking through Jerusalem and the old city, we stopped at this spot, and it wasn't a spot that was supposed to be that significant comparison to everything that we were seeing that day. But our guide told us that it was the spot where Jesus, when he was carrying the cross, began to fall and put his hand up on the wall to catch himself. And we didn't even really stop there, but it was one that I stopped and I put my hand in that spot. And it was the most emotional I think I was on that trip, seeing a spot. I'm not sure exactly why compared to everything that we saw, but it was, I think, my most eye-opening moment.
Now, that's for sure spiritual. That's why it's so emotional for you.
Yes.
But I'm going to go a little further deeper because you had a whole experience here. And some of it's redundant. When I say spiritually, surely that's historic. But is there something in terms of the history of modern Israel that jumped out that you would want to take people to see?
It's a good question. In terms of modern, I'm not sure, truthfully. I feel like everything was just so incredible, but I'm going to think about it. I'm going to come back.
Okay. You're allowed to come back. Who would like to jump in next? Most significant spiritual and historic things that you want other people to see. Grace, you're unmuted.
Do you say Grace?
Yeah, I see you're unmuted. Sorry, Madeline also, were you jumping in?
Yes, but go ahead, Grace.
All right, well, thank you. I would say the most impactful for me was visiting the outskirts of the Gaza Strip, just because it reminded us of the long, long years and multiple trials and everything that the Jews have gone through as a nation, suffering under the devil's hand because God loves them so much. And in addition to that, I would say for modern Israel, all of it was a great culture shock, and it was beautiful, and the weather was amazing. Every day, actually. But I really liked the Sea of Galilee. I really enjoyed it. The view, every angle was beautiful, and it had its spiritual importance, but it was also just a beautiful sight and is used for so many things.
Grace, you did something just very beautiful because when you're talking about the outskirts of the Gaza border area, we call it the Gaza envelope in Hebrew. I thought that that was going to be your modern thing because of what were the war in which we're still in the midst and what happened on October 7th of 23. But how you just tied that in to sort of thousands of years of suffering of the Jewish people and our resilience is really quite amazing that that was a spiritual thing for you too. Thank you for framing it that way. Madeline, you were going to speak before.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. So I think what you'll gather from hearing our range of answers, which I think is so special, is that everyone had a moment or a day that stood out to them in different ways. So I think it's so cool how we can all experience the same things but have very different key takeaways. For me, as far as historic or spiritual site, I loved going to the Mount of Olives. Because it was the one place where you stood where the past meets the future, because it was there where Jesus ascended into heaven, and you can oversee all of Jerusalem from that site. But then that's also the place where we as Christians believe that Jesus is coming back to that mount and going to split it and go into the gates of Jerusalem. So it was just a beautiful picture of past meeting future, so historical, but also significantly spiritual. As far as modern day Israel, going to the Nova site, which is where the Nova Festival took place on October 7th, 2023, where Hamas came in and killed thousands of Israelis that day. That was a very pivotal moment for me on the trip because it was the first time I had been that close to the Gaza Strip, where you're only about 2 miles away, and you could hear the bombs going off, you could hear the gunfire. And it was when war became not only something I had read about in history books or learned about in school, but it was very real and present in that moment. And I gained a whole new side of compassion for what Israelis are dealing with every day, and a weird sense of thankfulness that hearing those bombs and things go off was fearful to me, but so normal to Israelis, like unfazed by it. So my heart just broke that that is your normal in Israel, but also being a part of such a modern and current thing that's taking place in history.
Wow. Thank you for that. Who'd like to go next? Anna, go ahead.
I would, for the historic spot, I would second what Grace had said about the Sea of Galilee. It was one of the last places on our trip, but the second we entered more northern Israel, it was just really special. It was a really special place, and getting to touch the same water that Jesus once walked on was very, very special. Just being able to really visualize it, because water's water, it doesn't really change. And then for modern day, I would say we visited one of the kibbutz, and that was very significant for me, just to really once again visualize, and like you'll hear stories, but to actually be in a spot where such terror had occurred.
You're speaking about one of the communities along the Gaza border that got
Yes, sir.
devastated. Yeah.
Yes, and having the privilege to speak to some of the members or some of the residents of that area was very special.
Ilona,
Well,
Emily?
maybe not special, but like,
No, I know.
you know what I mean?
Impactful. Yeah. Yeah.
Impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. Ilona.
For me personally, I would also have to second with what Madeline and Emma shared about being at the Nova site and the kibbutz. That really was very transformative for me because it humanized the whole Palestinian and Israeli conflict. I think in that moment, I feel like getting to witness
the Gaza Strip or parts of it, I always had a very like mystified sense of Gaza. Gaza didn't really seem like a real place for me almost. And in that moment, it was like, oh my goodness, there's like there are people there. But then also being at the Nova site where there had been so much like death and destruction and violence on a day that I was actually celebrating my birthday. It was a very interesting tension that I feel like God, the timing for being there, like God was trying to like tell me something, and I'm still trying to learn what. I think that that is still in the works for me. So for Modern Sight, that really shook me. Also learning how one of our security had been there and had been fighting there all day long. That was like, oh my goodness, we just like it just it all became so real for me. Because I remember hearing the stories about October 7th when I was here in the States, and it was just so far removed. And then so being there in that moment, I was like, it all became very real. I became very just passionate about sharing these stories that I had learned about. For historical, the Southern Steps, I had an experience there where I started sobbing. And I mean, historically, Jesus did a lot of his ministry there. The disciples did a lot of their ministry there. But I felt like in that moment, God put a huge, huge burden for the people of Israel, and specifically even our friends that we met while we were there. And I'm excited to see what the Lord continues to do. But those were two locations that really moved my heart.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Southern Steps, because that's truly one of the places that you know. You don't know on which step, though he was there multiple times, but you don't know, but you know Jesus had to have walked there. That's not historically in doubt at all. I don't know if you ever any of you ever heard this story, but we actually do a program called Run for Zion. And I was thinking about it. We should talk about, you might be an opportunity for you all to come back in March. Run for Zion is the first Christian program around the Jerusalem Marathon. And I explained to the mayor of Jerusalem once that if you're a Christian, this is the most significant place to run. Even if you're just running 5 or 10K for exercise once in a while and you're not a serious marathon runner. And I displayed that to him with a quote that Neil Armstrong, remember the first person to step on the moon, when he came to Israel for the first time, he said he wanted to be brought to a place where it was without uncertainty that Jesus walked, and he was brought there to the Southern Steps. And he said, remember, this is the guy who stepped on the moon for the very first time, actually, this week in 1969, when we're having this conversation. He said it was more significant to him to be on the Southern Steps than to have been the first guy to step on the moon. That's pretty wild. So very interesting. And by the way, I'm not a tour guide. My wife is a tour guide, but you can take any point that you're mentioning. And Grace, you did it so beautifully, representing the being in the Gaza border area as a representation of all of Jewish history. And Ilona, what you just said. Not, and by the way, I'm highlighting a few things. I'm remarkably moved by all of your comments.
I want to pause in the conversation for just a moment to invite you to join us in one of the really incredible programs that we do as part of the Genesis 123 Foundation. This year, we have been going out all throughout the Judean Mountains to show love to soldiers who are stationed keeping us safe from the threat of terrorism. It doesn't matter if we're in a burning heat wave or temperatures below freezing before the wind chill. They are out there guarding strategic points that have a high risk of terrorism. And thanks to the support of many people like you, we are pleased to bring them homemade hot soup in the cold of winter and cold drinks and sweet watermelon in the heat of summer. Any donation is meaningful and helps us to bless the soldiers. You can join us and donate at genesis123.co/blessasoldier. That's genesis123.co/blessasoldier. And when you do, you also have the opportunity to send along your own personal words of thanks and blessings to the soldiers guarding the land and protecting the people. Please join us.
Emily, what's your historic and spiritual site that everyone has to come see.
Yeah, thank you. Spiritually, I think one of the most impactful sites for me was Masada, the desert. Personally, I really love Psalms. I really relate to David. He wrote a lot of them and what he has to say and his relationship with God. And so getting to feel the desert heat that he talked about and how he talks about like thirsting for God, like he thirsts for water in a desert, wow, which is very impactful and made all of the Psalms feel very real, even today reading them now. So that was a very spiritually moving site for me. And historically, I'm going to echo what I believe Emma and some others have said about the kibbutz down along the Gaza envelope. Standing there, we got to a point where we were able to look into Gaza and see the destruction, see the war torn. And like Madeline was saying, it really opened my eyes to war and what war looks like and how even when there is sometimes a clear right and wrong, war still isn't necessarily just black and white because people are still dying. No matter how good a cause it is, people still die on both sides and how awful that is. So.
Good. Thank you. So you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned that last point that you did about being on the Gaza border specifically, because I'd like to ask you something I didn't even think about till one of you were speaking. When you go to the Gaza border is a synonym these days for viewing the sites that were destroyed. In Hebrew, the word is kibbutzim, the communities that were destroyed, the Nova music site. You probably went to the place which I don't know if it has a formal name, but it's the memorial where, what is it, 1,200 or 1,600 cars that were burnt to a crisp and shot up are there. And I don't know if you went into Sderot, the city that's right on the Gaza border. But when people talk about there, that's sort of synonymous and probably will be for the next generation or more here in Israel. Was there something uplifting about being there, about not witnessing the devastation, but being there anyway for any of you? Madeline, you're nodding.
Yes. So what I think is ironic about how you can, like you said, be in a place where it's so dark and you can literally hear the devastation around you in the form of bombs or other things like that. But as I was standing at the Nova site and feeling the weight of that moment and feeling terrified, honestly, I was in prayer and reflection of God, what do you want to teach me in this moment? And God, where are you in all of this? And as I'm even looking into the faces of pictures, these memorials of people who died at the Nova Festival on October 7th, 2023, that their families have set up. So I'm literally looking into the faces in a sense of the people who lost their lives that day. And what I couldn't help but take away was them crying out to me to Madeline, live, enjoy life, live in this abundance and freedom. And what I realized is that the enemy wants me to feel fear. Like that's literally why it's called terrorism. So my fear quickly turned to anger and this resolve of, no, I'm not going to be fearful. And just the act of me standing here, my presence, my feet being here in Israel at the Nova site or in this kibbutz is a defiance of that fear and a resolve to live in peace, live in community. So that was my key takeaway, is to take back life with me and to leave behind death. Metaphorically, that death can look like fear, can look like anxiety, can look like conflict between other people, and that life can look like going towards peace and living fully, embracing family and friends. So I would say in the midst of that darkness, that was my light in the midst of it.
That's a very good word that we need to hear here in Israel, because even though we know it and there's been tremendous unity and a great deal of blessings that have come as a result, which is crazy to say, it's still hard. Some of you have already echoed this. So we're still living in the midst of this. Anyone else have any kind of thoughts on whether, if or how that was uplifting to being there? Ilona?
For me, one thing that I found so shocking was like the resilience and hope and the sense of community that everyone seemed to have. Like I'm completely so truly like shocked that even in the midst of so much like devastation and pain, there's so much celebration of life. And I remember asking one of the soldiers, I asked her if she had, because she just finished like a tour or a time in Gaza. And I said, like, where do you find your hope? And she answered, she said, in like Hashem, but then also in like in her friends, in celebrating life and the life that you have. I think when life is so, when you realize how easily you could lose it, it becomes so much more valuable and you cherish it so much more in the moment. I feel like a little bit in the West, because we live life kind of very peacefully, we're almost a little wasteful with our time. And we're also maybe, at least for me specifically, not as connected with like my friends, and not, there's you kind of lose that sense of community a little bit. But at least there in Israel, because there is a sense of, especially with so many soldiers being so young and so many dying, there is this like really deep bond of just treasuring every moment, but treasuring every moment with each other. So I found that really special.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And as you're speaking, I mean, you if you were all Israeli, and if you had all grown up here, you would all either be in the military yourselves, or have friends, boyfriends, maybe fiancés who are currently on active duty, or brothers or sisters. It is more personal here. I'm so impressed with your observations, ladies. Grace, I don't know if you just unmuted, but did you want to add anything to, or Morgan? I see both. I'm just trying to follow who's unmuted. Morgan, I saw your hand. Go.
Yeah. So I have similar feelings to both ladies that just spoke. With Madeline, I would say it really was a life-changing experience to stand there and see the memorials. The first one I saw was from a 23-year-old girl who saw what was happening, wow, and called her mom. And that's the first thing that I would have done. So I think that one really just hit home, especially seeing she was the same age. But like Ilona said, that's something also that I've been talking about with everyone at home, is the resiliency of the Israeli spirit, and how every single person we met was able to say, you know, we've had these horrible things happen to us, but look at what we still have. And I think that that's so special, because sometimes I think that we can see the negative in everything, and it was something so horrible. But to still say, like, look at what we have after this, I just think is so special and so incredible to have that mindset.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, to add off of almost exactly what Morgan said, the resilience of the Israeli people has been an inspiration and has been uplifting, because I think through all of this, through suffering brings people together and humanity shines through. And we heard a story when we were in the outskirts of Gaza at the Nova Festival. Actually, there was a man named Jonas. I think I'm saying his name right. He was a Muslim, and he protected a Jewish boy and his friend group from the terrorists. And he was recently rewarded with a reward of bravery from the president, Netanyahu. And I think that's inspiring to see that there is no demographic diversity. It's just the victims and the oppressors, and suffering burns people together. Not only that, but friendships were made in the horrible captivity and the atrocities that happened. There were four girls who were released. In one of the first releases from the ceasefire, I think their names, I looked them up. It's Karina, Daniela, Nema, and Leary. I apologize if I'm saying anything wrong, but one of them was an IDF soldier, and she went back after she was released from captivity. So sorry, captivity. She went back to the IDF to continue to fight to release the other hostages. And I think that's as inspiring as it gets.
Yeah, that was remarkable to me. And that's very recent that she did that too. Emily, you were going to say something, I think? No? Okay. Emma? No? Okay, good. We're just moving on. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Feel free to jump in. We're doing really great. So here's a, wow, who said it? Because I'm getting lost in the conversation. Who said Masada? Okay, Emily, I want to come to you first. To me, that was such a remarkable observation, to have the sense to be in the desert and be, if not physically, Masada didn't come into existence as a fortress. The mountain was there until long after King David wrote those psalms. But to be in the desert, to have a sense of the thirst of the desert, which is very different from being thirsty and going into a 7-Eleven and getting a Coke Zero. That's such a profound observation. So my next question, I feel like a figurative ought to put on a seatbelt for this because I know your answers are going to be great. How has your experience here impacted your faith? And I'll stick with you, Emily.
I am still realizing, I think I'll be realizing for a while how it has impacted my faith. I think mostly I'm just seeing it here, like through sermons and realizing I was there and I can still remember what it smelled like, what the air felt like, all of those things. I think what I realized is that spiritually, I didn't feel a lot of things at the different spiritual sites, or at least not in the ways that I expected to. I thought I would feel God's presence as strong as I ever have before. I didn't entirely experience that, but I really felt his presence coming home in the ways we were protected on our way home, which, if you don't know, our flight left on June 13th. So that's what I'm referencing when I say
June 13th, meaning the day that the war started with Iran. And you were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last flight or one of them.
Yes, that's
before
true.
Before we got shut down for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So seeing his hand of protection over us in that way is mostly, I think I've seen it tangibly rather than emotionally. And that's shown me that I don't have to feel God because God's presence is just there. So like you can be in the holiest place on earth and I might not feel him, but he's still working for the good of all of those who love him.
You can be in seat 34F and have that presence even without knowing it. Remarkable. Madeline. Was that your seat number?
Well, not the seat number, but I was sitting on an aisle. I remember Emma was behind me and we found out together. And then Ren, a girl from our college, was in the seat in front of me. And we prayed together for Israel as soon as we found out. Like between the seats, we held hands and prayed for Israel. And the fact that God's hand of protection was over us, I felt it at that moment as we were leaving. I just wanted to add that.
This year, you can join Christian leaders from around the world who are lining up to participate in Root and Branch, the newest hands-on, meaningful, and incredibly tangible way for Christians to make a personal connection to Israel, the Israeli people, and to be a blessing to the people and nation which is still suffering from the trauma of a horrific terrorist attack and war. Root and Branch offers unique comfort and a vision of peace with tangible material benefits to Israelis who have suffered the trauma of war, specifically in and around the Gaza border area. Root and Branch is a unique agricultural pilgrimage. You will harvest wild olive trees in communities along the Gaza border that were devastated by the October 7th, 2023 terrorist attack and massacre. In these communities and elsewhere, we will plant deep and lasting roots among Israelis of all backgrounds, making Root and Branch all the more innovative. Since the war began, more than $50 million in crops have been saved by volunteers. Root and Branch is the first such initiative to harvest olives. Proceeds from the olive oil that's being made will directly benefit these devastated communities, making Root and Branch a critical and significant project to bless Israel economically and spiritually, in multiple ways. Root and Branch is a partnership between the Genesis 123 Foundation and NewPersia.org. For information, videos, and media about the experience, dates, pricing, and how you can register, please visit rootandbranchisrael.com.
Madeline, you've unmuted, but even though you hadn't unmuted, when Emily was talking, you were seriously contemplating that. You were looking up somewhat instinctively. I don't know if that was for divine inspiration or into a particular moment, but how did this impact your faith?
Well, even as I'm hearing this, I'm tearing up a little bit because I think processing how this has impacted my faith will be a lifelong journey because it was so rich and there were so many things. And one of my key takeaways, though, as Emily was saying, was I fell asleep on the flight immediately. I took a Benadryl. I'm like, I'm going to be out until we get home. And so I had no idea what was going on until one of my friends had a brief, like 10 minutes of service on the flight and saw the headlines and that we were the last plane to leave Israel before all flights in Tel Aviv were grounded. And how do you process something like that in that moment? So even a month afterwards, I think it's still something I'm grappling with. But I think it's undeniable that God's hand was on our trip. And this journey, journey to Israel really started with me over a year before I even set foot on Israel, when in January of 2024, God really gave me a holy curiosity about the Jewish people. And really started with diving into what the word shalom means, which I always just thought meant peace or a greeting, but it means so much more than that. Just like this issue or the nation of Israel, at face value, people can think it's simple or this is how it is. But what I realized through being there was that how rich and how complicated it is. So I dove into that. Shalom means this wholeness and this completion. And God just really began stirring my heart and the soil of my faith. And I just, with expectancy, was hopeful that an opportunity would arise for me to go to Israel. It didn't really make sense at the time. War-torn area, there weren't very many people visiting, but I just, in faith, was expectant that an opportunity like this would arise. And then a little over a year of prayer and expectation and telling lots of people, like, I'm going to Israel soon. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's going to happen. Because I just feel so drawn there and curious and just keep falling in love with the Jewish culture and curious about this war that's going on. And then in March, I got the information that it was a possibility. And then God made a way for it to be very financially feasible through Young Women for America and Passages. So I just saw over a year of prayer being answered for me to have this opportunity. And then being on this trip was nothing what I expected it to be, but everything I needed in a way that I'm still processing. So how has this impacted my faith? That's a really big question, but I would say that's kind of a 500-foot view of something that I'm still processing.
I would love the privilege to have this conversation with you ladies in about 20 years when you're young-ish mothers and raising your own children in this as well. Emma, I noticed that you unmuted.
Yeah, I would say it's interesting for me because it impacted my faith in a way that I was completely not expecting. I would say in the beginning of the trip, just to piggyback off of what Emily was saying, that it's important not to tie our faith with how we feel, but based off what we believe is truth, because faith isn't based off of our feelings. It's based off the truth, you know? So in the beginning, I wasn't feeling much. I wasn't feeling whatever. But I kept having to remind myself, like, no, this is the truth. This is what happened at this specific spot. But then later down the line and later on in the trip, I actually started to not pray as much, not read my Bible as much. And I let a lot of doubt in. I saw the spots where such terror had happened. And I was like, really doubting God's hand. I was like, God, do you care about these people? Like, why is this going on? Do you care about the Palestinians? Do you care about the Israelis? Why would there be such horrific, like, terror, you know? So I started to kind of shut God out. I stopped praying. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to do my own thing. So I just, like, kind of went with the flow, went through the motions. And it wasn't until we, 6 hours into our flight back to the United States, when I just looked at the news real quick on 15 minutes free Wi-Fi that I had on the plane, and I saw what had happened, and immediately I told Emily what she was just saying, and I was like, wow. I was immediately humbled by the Lord. I was like, wow, his hand of protection was on us. It was on us, and there's no doubt about that. And then even after the trip, just more confirmations, more just like little signs from the Lord that really showed me his sovereignty and that he has a plan. I'm adding with ours loud. They just told me to be quiet. But yeah.
Got it. Morgan, you're unmuted.
Yeah, I would say it impacted my faith in a way, same as everybody else, kind of that I didn't expect. I feel like it just made me realize how much bigger his plan is. I went into it expecting the biblical sites to be the most impactful to me, and they were so impactful, but it ended up being the relationships that I made with the girls that I met and the people that I met in Israel, not just the girls that I went with, that impacted me the most. And I didn't really expect that. So someone had mentioned our security on our trip. She was our age, so we got to talk with her and hang out a lot. And at the Shabbat dinner, I was sitting by her, and she just asked straight, like, just to my face, she said, "Why are you here? Like, what made you come here?" And it's such a simple question, but such a depth-filled question as well. And I just kind of stared at her for a second. I wasn't really sure what to say. And then I just said, "Because Jesus teaches us to love his people. I'm here to learn from you. I'm here to understand. I'm not here to make you believe the things that I believe." And she just kind of stared at me for a second. She was like, "Wow, that's so beautiful." And then she asked questions about the Bible and taught us about the Torah. And afterwards, she was like, "You know, I don't think I believe what you believe." And I said, "That's okay. You don't have to." And I think those conversations are so important. And I didn't expect to have a conversation like that, or for a conversation like that to be the most impactful thing for me from the whole experience, truthfully.
Amazing. With a young Jewish Israeli woman your age. Amazing. Ilona?
Yeah, I would say my answer is along the same lines as Morgan. And I mean, the trip really changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I truly believe so. I mean, obviously, Mr. Jonathan, you are aware that, like, our family is, like, deeply passionate about Israel and supporting Jewish people and hosting people. And we've always, like, loved Israel. Like, my dad goes there all the time. He was actually, as you were, like, he was there during October 7th. But I remember, and this is very humbling to say, but I remember just, like, even being apathetic, knowing that, like, he was there. I was like, "Oh, he's just in Israel another time," and, like, during another time, even though it was a very devastating day and he was stuck there for a week, like, I wasn't concerned. I had, like, a mild Christian, like, sympathy. And, like, I'm ashamed to say that now, but I truly believe that, like, God's timing is so sovereign, and, like, God is so sovereign. And, like, I think, like, my heart was almost meant to be, like, a little dormant until this trip. Wow. And when I found out about this trip, even then I was like, "Oh, I've already been to Israel a couple times. I don't want to go." Like, Grace can attest to that. She was the one who made me aware of this trip. And I was like, "Oh, no, I don't want to go. It's the timing of it's a little bit difficult as well." And when I tell you, the Lord flipped my heart on June 4th, like, that was the day that we left, like, midnight June 4th, when we were on that flight, that Archaea flight, surrounded by Orthodox Jews. Like, I saw these families, and I looked at my sister, and I was like, "Why do I have so much love? And why do they feel like family?" And the Lord just compounded those feelings. And like Morgan shared, our security and our tour guide, both Jewish, our security was agnostic, and our tour guide was more spiritual. And I have this deep, deep love for them. Like deep, like, sacrificial love. Like, I would do, like, anything for them. And my sister and I got the opportunity to speak with them on Thursday and just hear more of their stories. And that just transformed me. And I was like, "Oh my goodness. I love Israel, and I want to move here." And just to see that, like, heart change. But what the other girls were sharing, kind of the flight back, where they saw that, like, the Lord's hand of protection was over us, I remember just feeling a lot of confusion and a lot of, like, wrestling with the Lord in that moment. I was like, "Lord, why are we getting out safe and sound? The lie is our security." Like, she immediately was deployed. Like, she sent us an image, like, a picture on the flight, and she was, like, in her uniform already serving. And our tour guide, she didn't make it out. She was stuck in Israel for the rest of the week. She actually had a flight, like, a couple hours later, and she had been sharing about how excited she was to go back home, and she had to stay in Israel a little bit longer. And I remember thinking, like, "Lord, like, why do we get to go back to our families, but these two people have been talking about their family all week, dying to see them, are now unable?" And that was a lot that I, like, wrestled with, and I'm still wrestling with, but I think it's, like, a healthy tension, and I'm grateful for it.
it's a deep, as you said, it's going to impact you for the rest of your life. And those observations are very deep. And I think you'll continue to reflect on that. Grace, I think you're the only one who didn't get to talk about how it impacted your faith yet.
Yeah, so for me, the thought of going to Israel was so far-fetched. I never believed it would actually happen. And then Young Woman for America announced news that they would be taking a group of girls to Israel. And I still didn't believe it was going to happen, but I prayed about it and I applied and I was like, well, let's see what happens. Let's see if I can handle the financial responsibility of it. And everything worked out. And I will say, my mindset going into Israel, I was expecting to feel the Spirit in all the biblical places. And that's something that didn't happen. And although it didn't happen, it shaped my perspective and it taught me that the Spirit doesn't dwell in a place, but in the person. And the Spirit dwelled in us because we are the temple for the Holy Spirit. Those who receive Christ into their hearts receive His Spirit. And He was with us everywhere we went. I mean, we were singing hymns. We were singing worship songs everywhere we went. And everybody was filled with joy and we were learning so much. And I learned to let down all the expectations I had to really, truly hear from the Lord, to see what He was showing us. And that's my first thing on how it impacted my faith. And the second thing is I really saw Romans 11 come to life. How it talks about in the Bible with the olive tree and the grafted in branches being the Gentiles. I really saw how the Jewish people, their hearts are turned away from the Lord, but only for a time being while we're grafted in. And then after our time, all Israel will be saved. And it really showed His faithfulness through anything and everything. No matter what we do, the Lord's faithfulness always stands strong till the end.
Thank you. Okay, great. I want to get into maybe some more complicated issues. Unfortunately, we are in the midst of a war, and you were here and you heard it, you saw it, you got out just before it. Another aspect of that heated up quite significantly here for 12 or 13 days. But there are other challenges, particularly in the West in general, and particularly in the United States, and even more particularly in your generation. A few years ago, there was a study released that there's been a 50% drop in support for Israel among young Christians, people like yourself. How do you confront that? I want to ask a two-part question because they're related. It's summertime now as we speak. You're not in your campuses, but you're going to be in your campuses completely immersed. Or those of you who are graduating, but graduate school, immersed among people who are your age and not necessarily in the homes from which your values and faith are derived. How are you thinking, you even on a Christian campus, that you might confront issues of peers, friends, not understanding what you understand, not supporting Israel, in fact, using words like genocide and ethnic cleansing and war crimes, not aware, I think it was Grace, that you, as you said at the outset, that what you experienced is a tiny, tiny microcosm of Jewish history and persecution that we've dealt with. You might face challenges maybe at home, maybe in your church, more likely even on campus. How do you think you're prepared, or are you thinking about how to respond to that? It's a complex series of questions, and I welcome any answers on any level of that. Whoever wants to jump in. Emily, I see you already unmuted. Go ahead.
I think the problem is a little bit different on our campus. Madeline and I go to the same school, and we go to a very Christian, conservative, small school. So the problem is very different than maybe a big state school, but it is still a problem because I think Ilona used the phrase mild Christian empathy. Like, there's a very shallow understanding of Israel, and sometimes there is support, but that support tends to be more shallow without understanding or depth of I guess understanding is the best way to say that. And that was the boat I was in before I went. I never anticipated going. I never saw a reason to go. God really dropped it in my lap because he really wanted to work through me, I guess, to care for the Israeli people. But understanding that a lot of it is a lack of education. And so I think the best way on our campus specifically is to have a lot of conversations. There's been a lot of conversations I've gotten to have already with Christians that just don't understand. And we're very far removed from the conflict. And so part of it is convincing them on why they need to understand. So.
Okay. And that's an uphill battle. It's not something that you can just take for granted.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Well, I find it hard having these conversations, but I find it easier having the conversations when you understand the historical context and where many of these perspectives are coming from. But also, it's just plain psychological warfare going on. Even from the terrorist propaganda, it's really deceiving many minds. And it's also a bandwagon. You get in these conversations and you understand the historical context, and you soon find out that many people don't. And I think that's the first place to start with educating people and getting to the truth.
Okay. Very good. Ilona, you were going to jump in?
Mm-hmm. I was going to share that I think stories are very powerful. So even like podcasts like this, where you're able to share your personal story, that stories change hearts and minds. I feel like a lot, especially on college campuses, a lot of the disputes and a lot of the arguments are very emotional, and stories are very emotional. And because we got to listen to stories of hostages, we got to listen to stories of just regular residents living there, hearing their personal perspectives, we're able to bring those back and then share those. Because like even like Revelation shares, like they overcame by the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of their testimony. And like testimonies, like I love stories because testimonies change lives and they change other people's hearts and minds.
Thank you. Madeline?
Yeah, so I think step number one is undoubtedly a heart of humility. What I've been struck by after I've heard firsthand from Palestinians, I've heard firsthand from Israelis, I've heard firsthand from IDF soldiers and from people living in Israel and from people on all sides of the Israeli political spectrum and religious spectrum, if you call it that. And what I've been struck by is coming back to the States where there's such a lack of humility, and we treat this whole war like sports teams where you're either one side or the other side. And you're right, and the other side is wrong, whoever the other side is. And there's such a lack of compassion and bringing humility and humanities to the situation, and that we're not willing to sit down and have a conversation with people who think differently than us and understand or have a curiosity to understand why they think what they think. One of the reasons why this trip was such a gift to me is that I got to hear from people why they think what they think firsthand, rather than hearing from someone else of what they think somebody thinks. And I think that's an art that we're losing in the West and in America. And with that humility, I think approaching, while we do have that experience, which is gives us more backing than I would say a lot of people have, I think even with that, telling people, even after I've heard all of these things, this is something I'm still praying through. And what is such good news is that we have direct access to the source of all wisdom, which is the Lord. And so for me, it looks like prayer. Like, God, break down my worldview or thoughts or ideas or beliefs that I have about this warfare that aren't true. And give me the strength to have open hands to be able to have my ideas shifted that aren't in alignment with what's reality. So I think it looks like practically one-on-one conversations. I'm a firm believer in grassroots efforts. So it starts with one conversation at a time. And I think there's a multiplication effect when you can impact one person's life and then that person goes and impacts someone else's life. So I think it looks like humility, it looks like grassroots, it looks like everyday conversations and approaching it with prayer.
Thank you. Emma?
I will answer this question and then I sincerely apologize, but I'm about to catch a flight. So I will have to...
Oh, okay.
Lee, I'm so, so sorry. But thank you for having me. I would say personally for me, just what Emily said, she used the term, what was it? Like a mild support for Israel. I would say I definitely related to that before this Israel trip and just being like, yeah, I'm pro Israel. But for me, actually, Grace had told us about the trip. And ever since she was really excited about the trip and like not knowing if she wanted to apply or not, I just started incorporating into my prayers randomly for no reason at all. I think Grace actually incorporated it into her prayers. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing that. I just started praying at the end of every prayer. Didn't matter if I was waking up, going to bed, even before I ate, I would say, end my prayers with, Lord, I just pray for the peace of Jerusalem and I pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. And this simple words started a fire in my heart for the nation of Israel and for the Jewish people like no other. Like, didn't matter if I read things on the internet. I truly believe in my case, it was completely spiritual. That's what caused like the light to switch in my mind. So for me, I would say just also what Madeline had said, like prayer really does work and it does move mountains and it makes all the difference in my opinion. So, yeah.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you. Safe flight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you and for having me.
Jumping into the kind of the last question I was going to get into, but I think Morgan, did you, the broad question that I put out there about confronting those who are going to be opposing you, your peers, your friends, people in your church?
Yes, I think that Madeline and I have some pretty similar thoughts on this based on what she was saying, but I think the humility aspect is huge. I think when you're so far away from the conflict, like everyone in the United States, you can kind of look at it and just kind of brush it off and this is sad, but then you kind of move on with your day. But when you're there and you see it up close and you hear everyone's stories, I think coming home and sharing everything that we've heard is so important because it gives a face to the people who are there and the things that they're experiencing and they're seeing. And personally, I've been praying for Jesus to speak through me, to soften my words and to put it across in a way that is kind and understanding. I think that sometimes it's hard when you're having a conversation with someone and like they might start the name calling or the different things, you kind of might want to stoop to that level, but speaking in the way that Jesus would, I think, is so important. So that's what I've been praying for personally.
Okay, that's very good. I have one kind of formal question to wrap it up. By the way, I don't want to forget to say this, and I'm sorry Emma's not still here to hear it, but I will reiterate it to you all. Two things, so I don't forget. One, this is a deeply stirring conversation for me. Some of you have also expressed your own emotions, and you've stirred mine. I'm the 60-year-old father and grandfather in the room, so I'm not showing those emotions. I'm also supposed to host this conversation, so I'm not weeping in front of you, but you've stirred my emotions deeply, and others, I hope, who will hear this will also be stirred. And I want to thank you for your being so articulate, for your wisdom. And I want to ask all of you, please, to thank your parents for raising such wonderful women. I really mean that. So I want to wrap up. I say that as a preface because I could go on with you for another hour or two, and maybe we'll have that opportunity virtually or in person in other opportunities. So just a kind of a formal question, and then I'm going to come back to the end. I want to give you all the last word to say what hasn't yet been said. But my formal question is, as I'm listening to you, except for Emma, who's just beginning freshman year, you're all either in or finished with college. What do you think this trip would have done for you if it was in high school, if it was in 10th or 11th grade?
So I believe the Lord's timing is always perfect, and He meant for us to experience this in the walk of our lives that we are in now. And I will say this time period that I did go to Israel, knowing what I know and being knowledgeable in what I know, when I was in high school, I would not have been as knowledgeable or with a greater understanding. And what really sparked my heart for Israel was what happened to the Israeli people on October 7th. And I just want to share in their suffering and speak up for them. And so that's why this time has been the most impactful for me, and no other time would do that.
Can I dig down a little deeper on that?
Of course.
What if this trip, forget how old you were, but did take place 2 years ago now, before October 7th? And by the way, not like we, the Jewish people, haven't had more than our share of suffering through time, but that you weren't visiting Israel in the wake of an atrocity and the trauma that we're still in the midst of, but you came to Israel in June of 23. To what extent is that suffering necessary, or is it impossible to separate because you came not in June of 23, but June of 25?
So as you were asking, with the war going on, if I were to go before war broke out and all the controversy over Israel and which side to choose, I would say I wouldn't get the same message from the Lord as I did now. And going at this time was a bigger testament. And also to the peers around me, I've heard many stories from the other girls on the trip where people just weren't supportive of them going to Israel and called them mean names because they went to Israel, and like, how can you support Israel, this genocidal nation? And so remind me of the question again,
The question originally was, how do you think it would have impacted you if you had done this trip in 10th or 11th grade? And your answer is a good answer, but you talked about sharing in the suffering. And I'm wondering, you know, we're always going to be now, for the rest of my life, for the rest of your lives, we're in a post-October 7th world. We've experienced what we've experienced. 50 years ago, we were in the midst of we were following the Yom Kippur War. My grandchildren, who will be younger than I am in 50 years from now, may have their own suffering to go through. But I'm digging deeper because you mentioned suffering specifically, and I'm wondering if it's possible to separate the solidarity and connection to Israel from the suffering.
Can I add something to that point? So this brings back a memory of a conversation that I had with this lady who we were helping volunteer with. So, and I asked her, you know, I want to help bring the Israeli story back to America. I know this might be a loaded question, but can you tell me what do you want me to tell Americans about what's going on? And she was like, we are a strong people. And as all of these women have mentioned, but talk about our resilience. And so I think the point you might be hitting on is I think it's so important to not paint Israelis or Jews as these victims, because I think that depicts a weakness, because they are so much more than that. They are resilient. They are a strong group of people, and they come back even stronger when they've experienced these things. And as you've mentioned, there's unfortunately always been this attack on Israel. Like, you have the Holocaust, which was, you know, less than 100 years ago. And then you have October 7th, and you have just this constant turmoil and warfare in their neighboring nations, just this constant tension and war. But if I would have gone as a 17 or 18 year old junior or senior in high school, I think it could have, even post October 7th, it could have built a foundation for me being launched into college, because college is such a unique time in that it's the first time where we are thinking on our own. We're outside of our parents' household for the first time, engaging in these conversations with people outside of our family, outside of the way that we think, even more so if you go to a state school and not a Christian school like I have the opportunity to go to. But I think it would have been impactful then in a way of being formative and helping further lay the foundation before I was launched into the quote unquote real world and on my own in college. However, I think the time that I've gotten to go to now is uniquely special because I got both the political and the spiritual and the historical, cultural all meshed together, which is so unique with what each one of us is vocationally passionate about, which is in politics and in advocacy. So I think that was really unique for me and coming at this time.
Right. And what Grace said, and by the way, I'm so glad you began your answer to that question with it, that God's timing is perfect. Obviously, this was the time, and to be here at this time, not only in the midst of a war where you hear the shelling and shooting going on, but you are the last plane out before things get really escalated. None of that's in dispute at all, for sure. But I have a belief, and that's why I'm asking the question. And so I'm actually going to even go a little bit deeper and, in fact, invite you to disagree with me, that there needs to be more of this type of experience that you had. But if we only start when you're in college or finishing college, it's too late for some, because you've been influenced by things that you don't necessarily have the foundation for. So that's why I'm curious, anything else you want to add?
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance to create an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anybody for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Grace, you got cut off in a kind and gentle way, and that's all good. But anything else you want to add about, or any of you, Ilona, you just raised your hand, about what would it have been, that high school experience? And maybe you were here, but in a different experience while you were in high school.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. As a lot of people go to college, you know, their mindset shifts and they believe things without a basis because they don't have a foundation. And I would say, yeah, if I went to Israel in high school, it would have laid a even more solid foundation, like Madeline was saying. And it would have further been able to support me in my advocacy to others for Israel if I had went in high school. So it would have held a great impact, whether now or then.
Ilona, thank you.
Yeah, I also just want to echo that I agree with you, Jonathan, but I also think that God's timing is truly, like, is so sovereign when he calls you to, like, Israel, because Israel just isn't another country, you know? It is, like, a holy country, and it's where, like, he's returning back to. I feel like when he calls you there, it's meant for a reason. I had, like, the unique privilege of going when I was 11 and when I was 12 in 2015 and 2016. And, like, at that point, like, you know, I'd already read through scripture. Like, I'd been raised in the household that I was raised. And I got to see different historical and memorial biblical sites. And it spoke to me, but not in the same way that it did now. And, like, this trip, like, truly, it was just the timing of it was so, so, I think, truly divine. And even getting to spend my 21st birthday there, like, stepping into adulthood. And at the site that I was at, like, I know that it was God's, like, intentional timing for this very specific reason and for this full entire group, because now we all get to go and, like, represent all over the country. And we now all get to share with our peers what we experienced. And I think it's because, like, God called us at this specific time. And, like, exactly.
Okay. Emily and Morgan, you both unmuted. So who's going to go first? Okay, good.
Well, it's okay. I'll just start by saying if this had happened in high school, I, first of all, would not have been allowed to go. My parents didn't want me to go now. Actually, wow. None of my family did. So I think that was a hard one for me, too, because I felt like I was being called to something, but I couldn't exactly describe it to anyone else. And everyone else was like, why are you doing this? This is crazy. And now I came back and I have all these incredible stories and they can see now that I truly was called there. But I will say too, you had said something about, like, is college too late? And I'll say that personally, I did not have the relationship with Christ in high school that I have now. My relationship has not always been linear. This is something that I was a 2020 grad from high school. I would say 2021 is truly when my relationship with Jesus blossomed. So I would say that if I went then, I would not have taken in what I had on this experience. So I wouldn't say that college is too late. I think that it was the perfect time for me personally.
For you, right. And that's because of your own faith journey, which is amazing. And that's such a good answer. I love it. I love how you answered that. Great. Emily?
I'm going to echo a little bit of what Morgan said. I agree that personally, in high school, as a junior or senior, I would not have been able to absorb it as well as I did now. I'm sure it would have had an impact and God would have used it in my life if I had been given that opportunity. But I do agree with you that there are a lot of high schoolers that could benefit. And I think that while this was the perfect time for us as college students and college graduates to go, I think God can orchestrate something beautiful for high schoolers and that can be part of their testimony. So I think it's awesome that you guys are working on doing that.
Important. Thank you. Okay, ladies, this is the last open-ended question. What have we not covered today, other than me? Whether it's something that I already asked and you had a subsequent thought, or something that's on your heart that I didn't ask about, or anything. What have we not covered about that experience and who you are as young Christian women who just had this powerful experience a month and 10 days ago here in Israel? Ilona, you have to unmute.
One thing that I found so unique was, because we are living in, like, a post-October 7th world, is how a lot of, like, the Israelis that we met, I feel like that situation brought a lot of, like, changed many hearts and changed heart towards Christians. Before going to Israel, I didn't realize how deep the Christian animosity was because of how historically Christians have treated the Jewish people. I always thought that, you know, there was a good relationship there because, you know, Christianity comes from Judaism, and I didn't realize how much animosity there was. But going when we did, I feel like from the Jews that I met, their hearts were so open towards us, towards me, even being able to share about my faith and share about my perspective. I mean, I got the opportunity to share the gospel with two girls, and they had questions, and they were wanting to know, like, why I believe what I believe. And then they shared why they believe what they believe. And I think that was something that was so, like, interesting for me, because I know that there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of tension, there still kind of is. But that was something that really, really moved me while I was there.
Great observation. Who else? What else did we not discuss?
I had a takeaway that I'd like to share. Yeah. Just something that I've gathered from being able to go to Israel, specifically pertaining to the conflict that's been happening for so long. I think it's very impactful that now I know names. And it's a sentiment that a lot of the girls have echoed, that war on paper, and I guess on devices, you're reading about it online, you gather so many facts, but it's so much different when you go there and you hear stories. A few of the girls that I met, a woman named Talia, she told us, she just was an Israeli woman, and she told us where she was on October 7th. She had family members fighting in the IDF during that time. And so now we connect all of these news stories about random numbers and people that are dying. We connect that with names. And we're re-echoing the same idea that it humanizes the war. And now when I have one woman named Talia, and this is what she shared with me, and she asked me to come back and tell Americans about her and the Israeli people as a whole, their story.
Amazing. Thank you. We lost you for a moment in there. It wasn't so clear, but that was very deep. Thank you. Morgan, you're unmuted.
Yeah, I would say something that I took away, that maybe everyone else knew this, but I didn't, is that two-year war means two-year war. Like, I thought maybe it was we're fighting once a week or once a month or something going on. I had no idea that this was every single day. So I think the fact that the Jewish people are, Israeli people are living like this, and still are so kind and so happy and so joyous is something that I took back, because, I mean, I was sitting at home and something happened and I was like, what right do I have to be upset about something so small when I'm living here and I'm not worrying about all these things that are going on? So I think that that was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, you just made that very personal for me. In the same week, a week ago, a week and a half ago, when you all come visit, you're invited to my home. And you can see from the window here, the grocery store where I was at 2 weeks ago. Ironically, I dropped my son off, my youngest son, to go back to the army. And I ran into the grocery store. And 2 hours later, there was a terror attack. And a young security guard, who's your age, was killed. And that very same week, the same son called me and said, can I use the car? Which is normal, right? Young adults need their parents' cars, but he was in the army. So why is he asking me to use the car the next day? And the reason being is because he needed to go to the funeral of a friend of his who was from Gaza, a friend of his from high school who had been killed in Gaza the day before. So your perspective, Morgan, is important to see that dimension. Grace, Madeline, what else did we need to add?
I'll say one thing. One of my favorite pieces of advice that my choir teacher in high school actually told us all the time was that to whom much is given, much is expected. And we have been given a beautiful gift and a pretty weighted but responsibility that I hold with also great gratitude, but then also with great weight, because we have gotten to see what is in front story headlines firsthand. And we are coming back with stories and experiences that no one else has. And I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of an organization, Young Women for America, where we not only get to think about these issues, but then can put feet behind it and can go and lobby or talk to people in power in Congress in these positions about what's going on in Israel. And then another thing that I'm so thankful that I've gotten to be a part of is that with the spread of protests going on college campuses in America, we have been so dedicated to hosting prayer vigils. So while others are protesting, we're praying. And so in April of 2024, I got to host a prayer vigil on my campus. And I think the importance of continuing to bridge those gaps of Christian and Jewish relationships, learning more about the Jewish culture, and then also walking forward, being worthy of the calling and the opportunity that we had is so important.
Thank you. Grace, last word?
I'll just have to say that I'm saddened by the world's neglect towards Israel and the heart of why we're in the middle of this controversy and war, and that is the victims from October 7th and the things they went through on that day. And I pray that your podcast and other people's stories and advocacy can just spread the word of who really needs prayer and unity in their suffering.
Thank you, Grace. You know, you just ended, this has been very divine because you've been setting me up for things, all of you collectively, that I wanted to share. But talking about my podcast, yeah, I want people to follow this, watch it, listen to it, share it. That's what you do. You're trying to get a message out and share, as I mentioned at the beginning, to provide a window to look through at things relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. And I'm so proud of this conversation and grateful for all of you. And it's very rare that I make so many notes during one of these conversations. And granted, like I said at the beginning, there are more of you. So, okay, let's assume that there are 25% more notes. But even still, one of the things that Grace, you just said that I already made a note about, as much as I want people to follow this podcast in general, I want to follow each of you. You're each remarkable women, and the other word I wrote down in Hebrew, it's chizuk, it's strength. You give me strength, and I know that you do and will give other people strength, your peers, your parents, your siblings, your extended community. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for the privilege of hosting you here today. I knew it was an important conversation, as I said at the outset, a big conversation. I didn't know which direction it would go. Powerful, emotional, and I really thank you for it.
Well, we thank you, Jonathan, for having us on the podcast to be able to share these things.
Thank you. Well, we're going to share it, and I hope that we'll continue to share and partner in different things and find opportunities for you to come back and me to be a voice of yours here in any way I can. Thank you. I'm going to wrap up the conversation as we always do, reminding people that we do want you to follow and like and share and comment on these conversations as we've done now for a number of years, almost since the beginning. We're now in our fifth year of this conversation. We have a special gift for those who just follow and comment, like, and share. We call it From Jonathan's Bookshelf. You can't see my bookshelf, but there are a lot of books about Israel. I live in my Petri dish, and I like to share things. But for the last 2 years, since we came out with our remarkable book, Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation published a book called Israel the Miracle, a compilation of 75 essays by Christian leaders all over the world, writing about why Israel is so significant. We are offering a free copy of that. It's a stunning book. It's a $75 value, and we offer it for free to one person every month who just comments, likes, or shares the link to this program. So please do that. We're always grateful that the podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. If you're ever in the area, I always tell people, pop in and thank them for helping making conversations like this possible. And also special thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or a special occasion, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. And I'd like to take the privilege as host to sponsor this episode, not just in your honor, ladies, but all of the Young Women for America. You're remarkable, and I am grateful for you for being part of that, not just relating to Israel, but as it relates to everything that you do. And we'd love to always hear your comments as part of a dialogue and invite you to send questions as well, especially questions about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this who will find it of interest with others who will find it of interest, and do continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you. Hallelujah.